I want to say again that we're glad to be back home. We had a good time in the Lord. While we was gone, the Lord really blessed us. And night after night that we give altar call, in most cases, the entire church come down to the altar. You just wasn't no way to get them to the altar, too many people. But we know that the real altar is in the heart. A lot of times just stepping out makes a lot of difference. Preached about 20, 23 or 4 times, I don't know just exactly how many, in succession, and I still got a sore throat from it. But we had people out of about 4 or 5 different states that attended the meeting, and God blessed us. I really praise God because those people wanted something. I hope you do. Those people were sincere. I hope you are. They wasn't playing. They were really looking for something. They came looking for something, expecting something. Not a make-believe, but a reality. I feel a much better spirit tonight among you than I did the other night, even though I still feel 1 or 2 that I just don't know how they're ever going to get over that hump to make the rapture. I just don't know how they're going to do it. They've come to me and made confessions as to how Satan has aggravated them and repented and cried and done all kinds of things, and they've gone right back to the same thing. But nevertheless, the Bible said wisdom is justified of her children. So I praise God for His presence tonight because we can break our self-will if we want to. As Brother Lamar said, it's got to be an individual affair. You got to do it individually. Can't do it for somebody else. You got to do it for you. And I believe that when we get to the place to where we want to talk with God individually, shut away in my room today talking with God individually, I asked God to examine me. I wanted God to tell me what was wrong with me, not what was wrong with you. When I get up here, it's my job to tell you what's wrong with you according to Scriptures. But in my room, it's my job to find out what's wrong with me and pray for you. And asking God, what's wrong with me? Lord, help me. I feel like, well, to begin with, I know. There's some things that we believe, some things that we just think, and then, of course, there's some things that we know. And that which God has revealed to us, quickened to us, and confirmed by the Word, that we know. And I know tonight, in my heart, I know that you don't understand. I know you don't understand. I wish you did understand, but I know you don't. And I know that, as I said the other night, some of them came to me and was telling me about how some of them felt about the meeting and what took place up yonder at the meeting. And I believe I'm safe in saying that Brother John and I had a little talk today, and in what we talked about, I'm almost sure that they didn't understand. I hope Brother John understood today. I hope he did. But I'm sure that they didn't understand. And it is a living reality to be in Christ. But Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. And it doesn't do any good to know a lot about the Bible or to have a lot of knowledge or to have to be preached to a lot, to know a lot about things. We got people like that all over the world. But to have some understanding of what you've heard and know how to make an application in your own life to where it be beneficial to you, this is the needful thing. With wisdom, Solomon said, get understanding. Now, I was thinking today that I'd love to be able to get into a series of teaching. The Bible said be easy to teach, and we've been preaching in the last few weeks, and a lot of you got to be in 2 or 3 services, you know, somewhat of something that took place. And the Lord, night after night, blessed us, and some wonderful things transpired. As watching things that took place in heaven, I saw some wonderful things. And many times in watching the things take place in heaven, I watched some of the people and I knew that having eyes they could not see and having ears they did not hear. Now, I hope that your eyes will be open. I hope that your ears will be unstopped, that you can see always what the Father does and hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I hope that you can do this. You can if you want to, but you're going to have to want to. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Now, Brother J.T. Parnell is due to come in tonight or tomorrow and be with us. And if he's here tomorrow night, if you want to have a service, we can. He'll be here, and he's going on down to go into the islands over in the Bahamas. He wants me to go with him, but I don't guess I get to go. But anyway, I feel that Brother J.T. did everything within his power while that we were with him over yonder to be a blessing to us and to do what he felt that God would have us to do. And I really enjoyed working with him, and I enjoyed working with the other brethren that was up in that area. And so many of them wants to move down to this area. I don't know how many of them that came to me and said, Brother Pike, I'd like to quit my job, get rid of my home, everything, so to speak, to move down into Monroe after seeing what I saw. And some of them may do it. I don't know. Really, to me, that's not important whether they do or not, because the gospel's needed over there as much as it's needed here. But after what they saw and understood in the revelation, they wanted to come here. And many of them are definitely coming here. Whether they come to live or not, they're definitely coming here. And I still believe in the scripture where it says, hold fast, let no man take your crown. Because I feel reasonably sure that some of you have already lost your crown. And that others of you are going to lose your crown. Because you are not diligent in the things of God. You know, how many knows that you can lose your crown? You can. Hold fast and let no man take it. A man can take your crown away from you. If you grow slothful and slack, then the Lord can just move in somebody else and they can take your crown. Just take it away from you just like that. So I exhort you again to hold fast and let no man take your crown. Hold on to it. If you've got it, you know that you've got one. Hold on to it, whatever you do, hold fast to it, because you need your crown. Amen. You say, now, Brother Pike, what is my crown? The Bible teaches that he crowns the soul with life. His crown is the crown of life. Eternal life is the crown of your soul, and you can lose it if you don't hold on. Somebody can take it away from you. Now, I'm glad to see my mother here tonight. I didn't know Mom had come out. I saw Dad. Been concerned about my mother for a day or two, been praying for her, and I'm glad to see her out here tonight. Now, in Matthew 24, if you've got your Bibles, I thought we'd read and just kind of discuss something a little bit tonight. I've been real reluctant to do any teaching because we're just kind of living in a day when to hold people's attention, you just got to holler at them, that's all. They don't want to grow in the knowledge of God, they just want you to make them feel good, so that they can get that tired, weary feeling of being cast out away from them. And then they're ready to go home. But I tell you, we need to understand the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Your faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And if you don't understand the Word of God, you're not going to have faith. Now, you might believe in something, but I'm talking about believing in the Bible. You can't believe in something you don't know anything about. And I'd like to do what I can as a minister or as a shepherd to enlighten you with what God has shared with me as much so as I possibly can. But I can tell that some of you are not hungry. I know that you're not hungry. Your spirit shows that you're not hungry. You're not thirsty for the things of God. And because of it, it makes it real difficult to try to teach the ones that are. There are so few people that are really hungering after the things of God till it makes it almost an impossibility to teach a class. It's just about an impossibility to really teach it and get into the mind of Christ. That's not an impossibility to get up here and read the scriptures and talk to you about the scriptures. I could do that all night long. But I'm speaking of getting into the mind of Christ to where the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ can be revealed to us and make us to understand. Now, I've said this, and I want to say it again here tonight. I don't feel much interest in the Word of God, but I'm going to go on anyway. Now, I've said this, that God has a fivefold ministry in the church. And this fivefold ministry can teach you or preach to you, and all that they can do is get to your intellectual reasoning. That's all it can do. They're put here for the perfecting of the saints, which means there's absolutely no way that you can get to heaven without them. If it had not been needful for them to be here, God would not have wasted his time in putting them here. There is no way that you can get perfected without the ministry. The purpose of the ministry is to perfect a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Now, we say, well, foreknowledge, Brother Pike, makes us elect. And that's true. Peter said we're elect according to foreknowledge. And then Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which was manifest in Christ Jesus at Calvary. But my friend, you are not partakers of foreknowledge unless you believe. Your foreknowledge or predestinated place in God is determined by your faith in God, in his finished work. And there is no way that you can believe in something that you don't know anything about. That's impossible. You can't do it. The thing that you've got to do is to hunger and thirst. The Bible said, let whosoever will come. You've got to hunger and thirst. And whoever does come, then God knew about it. Whoever does come, God foreknew it. Whoever don't come, God foreknew it. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. If you are not going to live right, God foreknew it. And he didn't put your name in the book of life. Now, if you are going to live right, God foreknew it. And he did put your name in the book of life. Of course, that takes a little explanation. But most of you understand what I'm saying. Now, you're either living right or you're not living right. And if you're not living right, then you have no lot, no part in the matter because your heart's not right with God. Now, but if your heart is right with God and there's a hunger and a thirst after the things of the Spirit, as Brother Lamar said tonight, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And a fivefold ministry can perfect you in that God has completely predestinated, justified, glorified, and sanctified a people by foreknowledge. He's already finished the work by foreknowledge. But you are partakers of it in its season according to its revealing, in that God makes known to the church in every generation in part. You know in part till the fullness comes. And in every generation, he reveals a little part through the ministry. If you can hear it and believe it, then he said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. In other words, God can perfect you and make you the church he's coming back after. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. But you are partakers of the work in part. Only by foreknowledge are you partakers in the fullness. But you are partakers by part as you approach the season that the truth is released to you in. Now, that's why it's needful for the fivefold ministry, being in touch with God, it's needful for them to bring to you in its season exactly what God's got to cause you to grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, the fivefold ministry, as I said, can talk to your intellect. We can stand here and preach to you. Out of every meeting, twins are born. Now, I can stand here and I can talk with you, and I can have three subjects that is not predestinated, and I can have two subjects that are predestinated, and in talking with you, that five people which are the subjects that's listening, the five people that I'm talking to will hear the same thing. The ministry will reach the briar and the wheat, and the same thing will come to them. The same message will fall on their intellect. With my vocal organs, through oral expression, I can create vibrant tones that will fall on your listening ears, and the nerves will create thoughts in your thought pattern, intellectually speaking. That's the fivefold minister's job to do that, to establish a thought pattern of righteousness in your mind. That's as far as they can go. No man can receive anything except it be given him of God. Now, the Holy Spirit, or the eternal Spirit within the kingdom of God within my heart, or the minister's heart that is up here at the time, he, through the vibrant tones of vocal utterance, will go out and go into the heart of the predestinated. Not into the head, but the Spirit, not you that speaketh, but the Father, the Heavenly Spirit that speaketh from within you. The Heavenly Spirit speaketh to him that hath an ear, a spiritual ear, to hear what God is saying to the church. And that Spirit goes into the heart of the predestinated seed, because in the predestinated heart there is faith to take a quickening unto life. Then, after the message is over, after the teachings are over, three of the subjects which are not predestinated, they go away and they start an intellectual reaction in life that's called religion, or intellectual formality of religious teachings or endeavors in life. They go away and they do this like Cain did. But all it tends to do is create an intellectual formality in life, a religious thing that God's Spirit is not in. The other two predestinated will go out, and these two, in going out, will have a quickening unto life, and they will really be God's people and really do something for God in the earth. It might not be in a polished sort of a way. It might be in a rugged sort of a way, like John when he came out of the wilderness. It might not be anything polished, but it will be God. That's the difference. Nobody can do that but God. Nobody can tell the difference but God unless it's through discernment. Nobody can make the difference in the twins. It's up to God to do that. That's why that I have tried so hard to tell you that we cannot have one reservation of heart. If you've got one ought against your brother, one little, just a tiny reservation of heart, then you're going to miss the rapture. Because we have got to see eye to eye on everything. I've heard people say, Brother Pike, we'll never see eye to eye, but we've got to. The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they will see eye to eye. They will speak the same thing. They will walk hand in hand. They won't break ranks, and they won't pierce each other through. There will be one fold, and there will be one shepherd. That's all. Oh, when he, the chief shepherd, appears, he'll give us a crown that fadeth not away if we're faithful in his word. We know there's but one chief shepherd. That's Jesus. He's let all of the denominational world know in part. Many flocks have sprung up. When all of those flocks have to come into a oneness of body, oneness of mind, as they were on the day of Pentecost, that the chief shepherd might take them. And that oneness of mind is the Bible. We've got to see eye to eye. Now, you say, Brother Pike, but we just don't have to see everything alike, all right? If we don't see alike, then one of us is wrong. Is that right? One of us has got to be wrong. Now you say, well, both of us could be right. No, you couldn't. There ain't but one right way, that's the Bible. Now we could say potentially right and those kind of things, but my brother, I'm speaking of being right. There is just one right way. The Bible said if your eye be single, your whole body be full of light. Now, if you've got a carnal mind and a spiritual mind, then you're double-minded. But if your eye be one, the eyes of your understanding just be one, your whole body is full of light. The same thing that causes you and I to differ is the very thing that will keep you from making the rapture. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. One little wrong can keep you from making the rapture, because that wrong has got to be self-will. Now, if I am willing to reason with you and sit down and try to understand your position in life, then you should be willing to try to reason with me and understand my position. Irregardless to what we think or what we feel, we've got to come back to the Word. Whatever the Word of God says, we've got to come to it, because there's no faith outside of the Word. The same thing that can cause us to differ can cause one of us to be wrong and miss the rapture. God is going to narrow it down not only to deeds, not only to words, but He's going to narrow it down to the thoughts and to the intents of your heart, as it was with David. You're going to have to bring your heart and the intents of your heart and the thoughts of your heart into a oneness with God. That's why I talk to you like I do. Now, the average preacher would come up here, and he would talk with you and preach to you. He wasn't paying attention to your thoughts. He'd just cut loose and that'd be it. But see, I'm not trying to do that. I feel your spirits. I understand your thoughts. The Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in His spirit. And I know that your spirits are not together. I know your thoughts are not together. And I know to be one with God that we're now living in the hour. Well, as Brother Branham said one time, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your deeds do on earth. See, we're moving into the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. Now, I don't say this in a way of rebuke toward any of you, because many of you get probably as much as I do and more. But this is why I get so many things from God, for which I'm very grateful. It's because I do my diligence to keep the thoughts of my heart and the intents of my heart and the impulses of my body, the reflex of my mind, straight with God. Because I know He's listening. I know He's watching my motives. Now, I'm trying my best down inside to be perfect with God. I know my perfection is of the blood, but I have to come into a perfection that I myself can manifest by the strength of the Holy Spirit from within if I ever change this body. I've got to do it. There's no way to get around it. There's a little scripture here that I was going to try to read, but maybe I'll just talk with you concerning this, because I didn't mean to get into these thoughts. I'm just going to read a little scripture, and maybe I better try to clear this up that I'm trying to say here. I've got to get my inner man. Now, let me say this again. Let me say this clear. By the eternal Spirit of God, I am instantaneously changed on the inside in the inner man. Is that right? By a new birth, by the act of redemption, by the works of Calvary, I am instantaneously changed in my spirit into a new creature. I have nothing to do with it. God doesn't. I believe. I believe because I was predestinated to believe. I have nothing to do with it. Now, I make myself available in that the Bible said, he that draweth nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto him. I have to do that. God commands it out of me. He presents the gospel. He creates the atmosphere to where the devils will turn me loose long enough for me to be sovereign in my decision. He creates that atmosphere. Then I have to make the step toward God. Now, God will create an atmosphere to loose you from bondage so that you can come, but it's up to you to make the first move. Now then, if God doesn't create the atmosphere, you cannot come because you're bound by carnality. If you want to come to God, you can come to God. Is that right? You can. The Bible said, let whosoever will come. That's why we have a day of dispensational grace, an atmosphere created across the world to let whosoever will come. Now, God knew who would and who would not, and He predestinated them unto eternal life. Even the hairs of their head are numbered. But God has to create the atmosphere by the ministry, by the Holy Spirit, so that you can come to God. There is an instantaneous work that takes place in your heart and in my heart at new birth. There is an instantaneous work. The Bible said that the man-child immediately was caught up to the throne as soon as he was born. If the kingdom of God is within a man, then the spirit of man, when it's born again, when that man-child is born, immediately it goes into the kingdom of God. For as it was said of Enoch, he was translated by faith that he should not see death. And the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. When we are born again, our spirit immediately goes into the kingdom of God. It leaves this body. At death, the spirit goeth back to the kingdom, or to God who gave it. The body is dead, and the body cannot do anything until the spirit returns back into it. Instantaneously on the inside, I am born again, and my spirit went back to God, and I reckon my body to be dead by the body of Jesus Christ, Paul said. I am dead to the law and all transgression and all sin. I am free from it. I am dead to it. My inner spirit was translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said that the man-child, the inner part, went into the kingdom, up to God's throne. The female part, the woman part, or the outer part, went into a wilderness. That's the intellectual struggle that we have in survival with our Christian experience in this world. Your outer body, your outer part, goes into a conflict where in the mind of Christ, in the life that you've received, and the satanic mind that was injected into you through Adam, it becomes a continual conflict, a war between the inner and the outer man. And this outer body goes into a wilderness of intellectual conflict until the day of its redemption, when the spirit will return back into the body and resurrect it. Now, that's what we call the rending of the veil, separating the body from the spirit. That happened at Calvary through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That way, God killed the body of sin of the beast, done away with it at Calvary, making him sin that knew no sin. He exchanged places with us. We became his body in life, and he became our body in death. He died out of the presence of God. We live in the presence of God. We're not, now it's not you that live, but Christ that live within you. The life you now live, but you live by the Son of God, and you are without spot, you are without wrinkle, you are without blemish, you are predestinated, justified, and glorified. But you cannot receive it just by somebody finding this out and telling you. You got to grow into it, because you got to persuade your heart, John said, because faith works down here. You can believe a lie and be damned in your head, but you got to get this transferred to the heart, and then it becomes faith, and then it works. That's why you don't have no more power in the church, no more healing. It's because we've got too much head faith, not enough heart faith. But when men begin to fast, and men begin to pray, and men begin to dig into the Word, and men begin to seek God, and men begin to get sincere, it comes into heart faith. And then power begins to work in the church. Because the Holy Spirit can't work in your intellect and bring miracles. He has to intermingle with your spirit and make the Word flesh. That brings miracles. That also brings translation and redemption of the body. But now the thought that I want to clarify is, my spirit or your spirit, it is an instantaneous work. Immediately, your spirit is translated in the kingdom. You are eternal from then on. You never can die again. Of course, now that would take a lot of going into, but on the tape at Utica on a Saturday night, it explains it thoroughly, the sin unto death, and how that you bypassed it. Gives it real clear, about an hour and a half message. Now, but what I'm saying is, in your spirit, you are instantaneously translated in the kingdom. You are from then on eternal. From then on, you're eternal. The soul can never die. Now, the body can go to sleep, but the soul can never die. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there is another instantaneous work. And that instantaneous work is the redemption of your body. Your body has already been redeemed. Now today, me and John had a little discussion on the body. It would really take a long time to go into how that the body is one thing and yet it's another thing. That is to say, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, it is the God body. When the Shekinah glory withdrew from Adam, it was the beast body. It is God body as long as the Shekinah glory of light is penetrating and driving out evil. But when it withdraws, darkness comes into it, it's the beast body. That would take a long time to go into that. But there is an instantaneous work. The instantaneous work is the redemption of your body. Now, the translating of your spirit, that is a translating of your spirit into the kingdom. The redemption of the body, which is already paid for in Christ, you've not acknowledged yet. You've not come to that part of acknowledgement to really believe it yet. You've got to wit it, though it's already done. We're complete in Him. As He is, so are we in Him. That is complete. The quickening of the body, or the redemption of the body, which age we're living in right now. Martin Luther, justification. John Wesley, sanctification. And in this age, it's glorification. Justification to your spirit, sanctification to your soul, and glorification to your body. The day of the redemption. In the redemption of the body, in the redemption of the body, it is an instantaneous work, not a translation, but a transfiguring. Whereas Jesus was transfigured when He stood on the mount and appeared in glory, it was a transfiguration. Transfigure. You are a figure, and He transfigures, just like we would translate a word from one state to another. He transfigures you from the image of the beast to the image of Christ by the Shekinah glory released through your faith. But now here is where the trouble comes in. The redemption of the body is an instantaneous thing. It's just like that. It's instantaneous. You have nothing to do with it as far as the instantaneous quickening. The translation of your spirit, you have nothing to do with it. That's the Shekinah glory. But now, there is a place between the translation of your spirit and the transfiguring of your body, which is the human mind, and this has to go through a transformation. Paul said, "Be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind." This is the wilderness. Now, in my spirit, before I'm born again, that's Egypt. Just a world of sight and garlic and onions. But when the Holy Spirit comes into it, it makes a difference. It takes it out of Egypt, and it starts me toward the Canaan land of the mind or faith of Christ. I don't go immediately into a world of faith, which is Canaan land, but I do come out of a world of sight, which is Egypt. I fall into a world of intellect, which is the wilderness. The slow process wherein we know in part is in the wilderness. That's where the serpents bite us, because it's mind, the mind of Christ mixed with the mind of Satan, and that working in the mind of man. How many of you know that there's three minds? A mind of corruption, which is satanic. A mind of righteousness, which is God. A mind of necessity, which is man. Is that right? Both two of them working in one. But what I'm trying to say is the slow process. The slow process is the wilderness experience. This depends on you individually. How fast you can grow. How much you can comprehend. How much you're willing to give yourself to God. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, God will translate my spirit in and seal it to where I can't see Him. But then I start comprehending and listening, being a good listener. Being a good studier, studying to show myself approved, being willing to fast and pray and come in contact with God. And the more that I do that, the faster I grow. Now, but God, though He reveals, collectively speaking, unanimously speaking, though He reveals certain truths in certain ages, that is, unanimously speaking, but a person can speed up their individual affair with God and get beyond the unanimous presentation of the truth. They can cut it short like Enoch did and just press on in and get all of it. I ain't walked with God about 300 years. Now, Enoch did it. Elijah did it. Moses did it. Many of them did it. They just pressed in. See, you're already in heaven. How many of you know that? Your spirit is in the kingdom. You're in heaven. That means you ought to see angels. Why don't you see angels? If you're in heaven, why don't you see angels? It means it's something wrong somewhere. If your spirit in heaven, they're all as angels, even your spirit. Angels are spirit. If your angel is in heaven, then you ought to be able to see angels like John. John was in this spirit on the Lord's day. And the Bible said he saw an angel. This angel said, I'm one of your brethren. There ought to be a communication with the angelic beings. If there isn't, there's something wrong. Like the man that came up to Elijah when it looked like everything was going to close in on him. And he was all frustrated. He didn't know what was going on. He was afraid that the enemy was going to overcome him. And the prophet said, open his eyes, Lord. And when his eyes was open, he saw what was going on in the spirit in heaven. And the Bible said he saw the fiery chariots and the prancing horses. They were already there. Now the angels of the Lord encamp round about us. Where two or three come in his name, Jesus Christ is in the midst. You say, but I don't see Jesus. He's the Holy Ghost, the quickening spirit. You can see him. The pure in heart can see God. God is a revelation. The pure in heart, you're not pure in heart. That's why you don't see him. God purifies our heart or our spirit by the eternal spirit through faith. By faith he purifies our spirit. Just like the antenna on a radio brings in the wavelengths in the air, produces it on the screen. We say telecast it on the screen of your life. God, the God image, the God affairs, heavenly activities. From the spirit translation, which is God's work in the Protestant age, to the bodily redemption, which is God's work in the Jew age. In this, there is an in between, and I'm going to close in this a little bit. There is an in between, and this in between is a progressive transformation of your mind. God in your inner part. Inside of the kingdom of God within you. How many believe the kingdom of God's within you? Jesus said it don't come by observation. It's a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. The spirit of God within inside of you wants to break forth into your body and change your body into glorification. But it can't do it because your mind's never been transformed. You was translated into the kingdom by grace. Well, there's something for you to do, my brother, to redeem the body. Is that right? God created the garden, told Adam he had to have charge over it and keep it up. Isn't that right? God creates, he works in the soul, but it's up to you to redeem the body by the power of God. You got to project faith. Now, Brother Branham used a little term, I believe we got it here. When love projects, grace takes over. I made the statement that the thing that was going to rapture the church. Now, we say this right here. It's not the Elijah spirit that's going to rapture the church. The Elijah spirit was to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Is that right? But it's the spirit of John the Revelator that raptures the church. It's the spirit of love. Faith works by love. If we had time to go into it through scriptures, I could prove that to you. But it's his spirit that will return and rapture the church. He was a symbolism of the church. It's love. Faith works by love. The capstone of the whole thing is love, the spirit of love. Nobody knew those thunders except the spirit of John. It was the only one that ever heard it. Now then, what I'm trying to say is the progressive transformation that lays between the translating of the spirit and the redemption of the body, that's up to you. That's up to you. Now, if you can eradicate the middle wall of partition, burning it out with the word of God and the spirit of God, you know what will happen? When Moses was up on the mountain, the Shekinah glory broke through and he glowed on the outside. When Brother Branham walked the earth, they took pictures where it glowed on the outside. Coming through your blood genes and your blood genetics, burning out the in-between. They used to have a little song, don't mess with the in-between. In every case, the middle wall of petition, the Catholics between the Jew and the Protestant, always the same thing. Carnality, the crossing of Jordan. But what I'm saying is that the Shekinah glory of God, of which you are born of inside, cannot release itself in its fullness to glorify or redeem your body because of the interference. It does release itself in part, just like Daniel praying the outer man contacted the inner heaven, and then Satan running the in-between, the conflict, but Daniel, the outer man, just held on in his prayer and fasting, contacting the inner man in the kingdom. We'll say it, just use it like this in the physical dimension. And Satan running the interference of the intellectual. But he held on, and after a while he overcome it. And he come into the body. He got the answer. Now, if we can do that, then the full impacts of that Shekinah glory will rush into our body and will be instantaneously changed. Now, there's a lot could be said, collectively speaking, as to what will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But how many of you, did anybody see how many remember Brother Hardy's vision? Any of you remember? How many of you know that took place just exactly on the time that the satellite went out, or the whatever rocket, whatever it was? Is that right? How many of you know that the candle power of that rocket is equal to the sunlight? How many of you know that? We say the church ages, Brother Lamar, coming down 1, 2, 3 candlelight, and then down at the end of it coming into a conjunction or into a great combustion, into a pillar of fire to hit the back of that satellite, as they had to bypass the head mechanism to get past the brain work to get to the heart, and that thrust taking it on up into the heavens. The pillar of fire that was up under it, taking it right on up into the heavens. There could be a lot said about that when Brother Branham came on the scene. But you'd have to be spiritual to understand what I was saying if I did it. You love the Lord? You believe I'm telling you the truth? It's the truth, so help me God. Check it out any way you want to. It's the truth. That's the way it works. We are living in the glorification of the body. And my friend, you cannot have anything from God unless you believe it first. You can't wait for it to happen. You got to believe it into power. Enoch was translated by believing, the Bible said, by faith. And that faith was by communion with the Word. The Scriptures appeared unto Abraham in that day and unto Enoch. You want to stand with me? Now, there's a lot that we could say tonight concerning this. But I just want to drop in just a few words tonight to see if you would respond to where we might get into some teachings. I love to teach. I preached all my life, but I love to teach. Paul said a preacher and a teacher. Brother Branham said the last rain would be a teaching rain. I've always believed that that would be right. Because I don't know how the church is ever going to get the faith without being taught. The Bible said they shall be all taught of God. And the great commission was to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all men, teaching them. Is that right? Teaching them. Jesus would sit down in a chair. Or he would sit down on a little boat. Or get up on a rock and sit down somewhere. Just calmly, without any emotion, just instruct the people. And teach the people to build faith. We've got everything way out of balance in our day. We've got to have a show, a ritualistic thing. That's where Cain came in. Something to enthuse the flesh. But I want to get past the flesh, and I want to get to your spirit. That's where the real thing lays. The Bible said, God looketh on the inward parts, desireth truth in the inward part. The pure in heart shall see God, for the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. He said, if you don't repent, I'll move your candlestick out of its place. Is that right? Let's sing the little chorus, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. receive. Praise God, 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 praise God. I wonder if we can sing that little song, "They'll Come from the East and the West." I had a dream or a vision the other night, and all the stars had gathered to one side of heaven. And I saw that thing begin to be put into motion at Utica, when from out of different states, they all begin together in one place. Is that the same key we sang the other night? They'll come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar, to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with life divine. Blessed partakers of His grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Let's sing it again. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar, to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with light divine. Blessed partakers of His grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Let's lift our hands up now and love the Lord for just a few minutes. Father, as we come to the close of another service, dear God, how rich, how wonderful, and as the Scripture has said, how unsearchable are Thy riches in Thy mind, O God. And Lord, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, that it might translate us, God, into that great thing. O Lord, we pray in the great name of Jesus, Lord, that You might translate our spirits, transform our minds, and transfigure our bodies, dear God, into the dear kingdom of Your Son. Lord, that we can be partakers of the grace that You've given to us through Christ. Forgive our sins, Lord. Help the people. Bless the people and love the people. Cause the people to be hungry and thirsty, Lord, after the things of God. Dear God, help them to see that the knowledge of God is the power over death. And Lord, that all of the treasures of the earth, dear God, that they could go after is not as valuable as this is. And I pray that even tonight that You'd cause us to hunger and thirst, that we might be filled. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them you love them. Come back and be with us.